morning again. You know, sometimes you're given a scripture and you've maybe read it before, but it brings something back to you. Sometimes you're given a scripture and you look and you've highlighted it before, maybe two or three times. This was one of those moments. This was one of my favorite texts in 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17. If you'd like to read along, I'm reading in the New King James Version. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Let's kneel in prayer. Father in heaven, we kneel before you and we recognize your sovereignty. And Father, we know you are the same God that opened the young man's eyes, that showed your armies encamped around Elisha. And Father, we claim those same promises that you camp around us. You protect us and that you go with us wherever we might go. Father, I pray for forgiveness for the selfishness that we often fall into. And I pray that you continue to be patient with us as we align our will to yours and walk the path that you have set out before us. Father, I pray that you will be the only God in our lives. Father, I lift up Eurides and I pray that your spirit fill him, and that he can speak boldly the words that you impressed him to speak, and that our hearts will recognize those words, and they will draw us closer to you, and they will enlighten us to your character, and that we will continue to pray for our eyes to be opened, that we might only see you. Be with us today. Be with those of us that aren't here today. Support them, and if we can be of help to anyone around us, please impress us to do so and to be that help. And I pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Can I hear another amen?
Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you, Jubilant. Is that how you say it, right? Jubilant. That was beautiful. He touched me, and something happened. Hold the thought, because I think that goes connected to this sermon. Like, I can see how the Holy Spirit is already directing this, and I praise his name. Amen. Happy Sabbath, church. How are you doing this morning? Here I am again. To bug you. No, it's okay. The sermon for today, open my eyes, Lord. Last month, the sermon was on prayer, and I hope you guys use some of those tips we share on how to have a more active prayer life and how to be closer to Jesus. But today we want to pray specifically for God to open our eyes, and to help us see his glory, to help us see his power, to help us see the marvelous ways he blesses every single day, from the smallest miracles, which my wife already said that there's no such a thing as small and big miracles. They're all miracles. But from the smallest things that God provides for us to the biggest one, how great the love of Jesus is for us. But how often do we see it? How often do we open our eyes and recognize, okay, this is a blessing right now that God is giving me? Just the simple fact that we're breathing. Inhale and exhale. And we do that, our brain does that automatically, and we don't realize we're doing it, but that is a blessing that God is giving us. And that is one of the reasons I love praise and prayer so much, because we come to church on Sabbath morning and we share what God did for us throughout the week. Simple things that are blessings. I want to share a story with you. Dr. Ray McAllister, as you know, or some of you know, I'm enrolled in school right now for my master's. I'm doing online MDiv classes from Andrews University, the seminary. And last semester, I had experiences with some teachers online. Some of you heard about them. I had this particular teacher from Argentina. Bless this teacher. I struggled in his class. It was really hard. My wife knows it. I got a B, and I was totally happy that I passed that class with a B, because I wasn't expecting even a C minus. But I passed. Praise the Lord. But this year, I got this teacher. His name is Dr. Ray McAllister. Dr. Ray McAllister is passionate about his relationship with God. He enjoys spending time in prayer and Bible study. He writes poetry, and he serves others. In August 2010, he received a PhD in Hebrew. You know what is impressive about this teacher? He is totally blind. He is the first totally blind person in the world to get a PhD in Hebrew scriptures. How cool is that? When I was reading his biography, I was like, whoa, this guy, Hebrew, I love Hebrew. If I decide to get a doctorate later on, I'll probably go for Old Testament and go into Hebrew and archaeology and go to Israel. Like, I dream with that. And so I thought it was really cool that he has a PhD in Hebrew. But then when I realized that he was blind, I was like, wait a minute. How did he do that? For you to be able to get a degree, you have to read, you have to write, like that you level in academics, like have to be high for a PhD. And he did it in Hebrew, which is a different language. It's not English we're talking about here. It's not Spanish, which is my first language. This is Hebrew. How did he do it? He teaches distance education. I'm taking his class. I already said that. He also is a licensed massage therapist. If you want to get a good massage, you can go to Dr. Ray McAllister. He became the first totally blind male certified birth doula. He's trained to assist a woman during childbirth. In July 2016, he and other two visually impaired biblical scholars received from the National Federation of the Blind the top prize Jacob Bolodin, which is an award that is considered the Nobel Prize in the blind area. So this is what he received. This is a huge achievement. And he did all of this at the seminary, Andrews University. He also has a book. It's called The Blind Dream Chaser. If you want to know more about him, that he tells his story on there, you can go research it. You know why I'm telling you this story? I hadn't read anything about him yet when I was registering for his class. It's The Gift of Prophecy from Ellen White, which is totally separate from his field of study. He's Hebrew, and this is prophecy, but okay. I'm looking at the description of the class, and I see that it requires an art project. I'm like, this is interesting. I like art, so I could probably enjoy this class and like enroll in this class and probably, have the art project as my my hobby for this semester. And okay, so this project is based on early writings of Ellen White, where she describes the unfallen worlds, how God created other worlds that never sinned, never were, and they never will sin, and they're like looking at us. what's going on, the story of redemption on earth. I'm like, this is really nice. I've always been fascinated about stars. Like, I love studying constellations and stars and all of that type of stuff. And so this is something that is kind of like related to something that I like. It's even better. So I enroll in the class, and I'm thinking about a project that is spray painting to create like a universe and planets. And so I have to come up with my own universe, my own planets, my own names, and all of that. And I'm already thinking, okay, this is something I can do, and I have to create a video, and so the teacher will see this. But then I realized that he's blind. So how can I make an art project painting when my teacher cannot see? He's blind. Well, I said, okay, I can write a song, compose a instrumental song that goes as the background in a video, and I can let him know I made a video, but he also has a song. You can listen to the song, at least if you cannot see the painting. Okay? I'm solving your problem if that's a problem for you. So it happens that I was underestimating my teacher, because not only is he blind and got a PhD and he's a massage therapist and he's a certified whatever he is. It's impressive. I go online on the description of my art project, and he is a programmer. So he paints on the computer, talking to the computer. And I'm like, wait, what? So he knows everything about color and coding on the computer. So he talks to the computer, and the computer makes the color gold, and he makes it round, and he makes it square. And when I look at his painting, I'm like, this is impossible. Like, what? I was thoroughly amazed that a person who has never seen is able to create marvelous things. And so I'm telling you this because I want you to be aware of how important it is, as Robin said on Praise and Prayer, that we are able to see, and that we have professionals that can help us in that area. And I got to tell you, I have to confess, that's blurry right now for me. Like, I'm supposed to be wearing my glasses to read on the screen, but I'm really, like extremely lazy. It's until when my eyes are, like, really tired and I need to keep reading for school, is when I think about my glasses and I go, or when I'm sitting on the kitchen, I try to look at the clock and it's all blurry, and then, okay, I need my glasses, and I go and get them. Otherwise, mm-mm. But we got to appreciate the fact that one of the blessings we've received as human beings is the capability to see, the ability to appreciate the colors, the light, and even the darkness, the absence of light. And so, a couple of facts about eyes that I want to share with you this morning. This is the picture of the interior of an eye. And the kids were having a conversation about eyes today and about ears. I was really impressed. I was like, this goes with my sermon, actually. So I was really impressed. But we can see the different part of the cornea, the iris, and the nerves, the optic nerves that connects it to the brain. It's really impressive how the eye is formed. But some myths and facts about our eyes. Even carrots will improve your vision. Myth or fact? Myth? Fact? We have mixed reviews. Okay, let's see that. It's a fact. Carrots are high in vitamin A nutrient essential for good vision. Eating carrots will provide you with the small amount of vitamin A that is needed for good vision. But vitamin A isn't limited to rabbit food or carrots. It can also be found in milk, cheese, egg, yolk, etc. And don't go and tell to the health people that I'm sending you to eat all of that. Be vegetarian. This is the message this morning. That's a fun fact I found on, what's the website? WebMD.com. It's a well-trusted health site. It's certified. Another myth or fact. Sitting too close to the TV will damage your vision. Myth or fact? Myth. Fact is fiction. This is recent studies, you know, how science, like, keeps changing. So recent studies have shared that sitting closer than necessary to the television may give you a headache, but it will not damage your vision as that before. Children, especially, if they're nearsighted, may do this to see the TV more clearly, and they may, in fact, need glasses. So it's something to check for, but your vision probably won't be damaged by sitting closer to the TV. It'll get tired. Your eyes will get tired, and it'll give you a headache. Reading in the dark will weaken your eyesight. Myth or fact? It is a myth. Fiction says, as with sitting too close to the television, you may feel eye strain or get a headache from reading in the dark, but it will not weaken your eyes. Another one, there's nothing you can do to prevent vision loss. Myth or fact? It is a fiction. At the very first sign of symptoms, such as blurred vision, eye pain, flashes of light, or sudden onset of floaters in your vision, you should see your doctor. If detected early enough, depending on the case, there are treatments that can correct, stop, or at least slow down the loss of vision. So yes, you can prevent or do something about your vision. Another one, looking straight at the sun will damage your sight. Myth or fact? That is a fact, actually. Why do you think we need to wear those glasses when an eclipse? It's because that sun, those sun rays are implemented, and they can damage not only your eyes, like your camera can get damaged too, because that's like really strong. But fact, looking at the sun may not only cause a headache and distort your vision temporarily, but it can also cause permanent damage to your retina, the back of your eye. Any exposure to sunlight adds to the accumulative effects of ultraviolet radiation on your eyes. UV exposure has been linked to eye disorders such as macular degeneration, retinitis, cataracts, corneal dystrophies, and the most dangerous time for sun gazing is midday and during a solar eclipse, which we already mentioned. The brightness of the sun is hidden, but the dangerous invisible rays that permanently burn your eyes are not reduced. Wear sunglasses, people. Every time you're going out in the middle of the day, it's recommended for you to wear sunglasses as well as sunscreen for your skin, too. Okay, done with those facts, though. Why are we talking so much about eyes? Why are we looking at these facts? Why are we looking at the importance of being able to see and to take care of our vision? Because being able to see physically is important. But being able to see spiritually is the most important thing we can ask for. Amen. Before we go into our story, let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to open the Bible. And we want to ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us and show us in your Bible what you want us to see. May the message in this morning touch our hearts, talk clearly to us, and may we understand you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's a story. Well, first, what we're going to be seeing. Oh, there's something else. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Proverbs 20:12. Who made the eye? God. So God has the ability to give us vision. The Bible tells us that God's eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen in the things that he has made. One of the most obvious displays of his creative power is what? The human eye. So, three important things we're going to be seeing in this sermon. The church condition, actually, spiritually blind, according to the Bible. Number two, what Jesus can do. He can either close or he can open our eyes, depending on what you want. Don't stun me yet. Let's wait until we get to the Bible verses. I can prove it to you. And number three, what you and I can do about our condition, ask God to help us see. So let's see first our scripture. Let's read together. I put this one on the screen. The other ones we're going to have to look for in the Bible. But this is 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 until 23. 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. This is the time, before I go reading, this is the time where the people of Israel were divided, the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah. And so the prophet Elisha was the prophet in charge of delivering the message for the people. So this is where the story, where the set of the story is, where the story is happening. So the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God, who is this man of God? Elisha, the man of God, sent word to the king of Israel, be aware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? Because obviously, if someone was telling Israel what the plans were, and what the place was, someone, an infiltrator, someone was telling them. So he's demanding, someone tell me, which of us is the one on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, who is calling here the man of God, hear that, the man of God, the prophet who is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. How did he knew that? We saw the verse at the beginning. The God who creates the ear to make it hear, and the eyes, the God who creates the eyes to make it see. So he was giving Elisha the power to know these secrets for the benefit of his people. So go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in the town. Then he sent horses and chariots and strong force there. They then went by night and surrounded the city. This was by night, no one was seeing anything because it was dark. And when it's dark, our eyes can't see at all. So they went at night. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Praise the Lord. I want to pass and ask, how many times have you been surrounded? By personal problems, by sin, by family problems, marriage problems, problems with your neighbor, with school, economical problems, fear, anxiety. How many times have you been surrounded? And as I asked in the beginning, how many times have you stopped to realize that the ones, you shouldn't be afraid because those who are with us, that one who's fighting for us, they are more than those who are against us. How many times do we stop to realize that? And so the servant was scared, and the prophet says, don't be afraid. We have a bigger, stronger army supporting us right now. So the verse continues. And Elisha prayed, and this is a beautiful prayer. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And this is my prayer for you in this morning, church. That the Lord open our eyes so we can see his love, his mercy, His glory, everything He does for us, so we can be encouraged by this, by His words. Then the Lord, you know what the Lord said? What the Lord did? Because the man of God, the prophet of Jehovah, was there, he prayed. The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and the chariots of fire all around Elisha. What would happen if God revealed right now the invisible world and what is happening? That conflict that is going on, that it's been going on since the beginning, and right now the enemy is fighting God's angels, and there's this huge war. I think about it, and I'm like, God, thank you for not letting me see that. Because if I see that, I'll probably be freaked out. Angels and things like fighting and just flying all around, and that'll probably be scary to me. I mean, I'm happy that the angels are fighting for me, are fighting for all of us. And I'm pretty sure our angels are sad when we do something that you know, this it's like really sad. We're sinning. We're going against what we're supposed to be doing. But then we don't see that there's this battle. There's this fight. There's this war where God is sending an army to fight for you and for me. If only our spiritual eyes were open, we will be able to see all of this. Just as it's happening here. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. And this is my favorite part. He's first praying, God, hey, can you please open the eyes of my servant so he can see the spiritual things he needs to be seeing? But then he's like, can you physically strike these people with blindness so they cannot see anything at all? And God is so powerful that within 1 second, how great is the love of God? And we would be like, why would Elisha ask for that? Why didn't he just ask God for the army to just kill everybody, period? Problem solved. The army solved the problem. There's an army. Yeah, the servant was seeing it. And it was bigger than them. Why didn't he just ask for the Lord to kill them? Because it wasn't God's will. So God did that, as Elisha had asked. And then Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. Obviously, they were not able to recognize him because they were blind. And then they hear this friendly voice that is telling them, this is not the city, you are wrong, you're in the wrong place. And this is not the man either, so you don't want to kill me, because I'm helping you. I'm going to take you to that place where you want to be. So he takes them. And after they enter the city, they went, and he led them to Samaria, to the king of Israel. And after they enter the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see again. And I like this game. Because Elisha is just playing the game of open the eyes, closing the eyes, open the eyes, closing the eyes. Peekaboo. Hide and seek. I don't know. Why is he just playing with them? I mean, he could have just seriously just asked God, can you solve this problem your way? But no, he takes the time to ask God to close their eyes, to then open their eyes again. And when they open their eyes, they looked, and there they were, inside Samaria. What? But you told us that you would take us to where we wanted to be, and to take them in. And now they were surrounded. by the king of Samaria. Like, these people from Aram were raiding Israel all the time. But now they were surrounded. And Israel had the opportunity to just get rid of them. But Elisha said something. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" Like, he's begging. Can I just get rid of them right now? Like, so easy. They're inside my city. They're surrounded. They're enclosed in here. We have a big army, plus the prophet of God, who is usually in the kingdom of Judah, but now is in the kingdom of Israel, with the king of Israel. He's there. So the king was pretty sure that in this opportunity, he will just take them. Get rid of them. It was a problem. He wanted to be done. But Elijah said, "Do not kill them." He answered, "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword and bow or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their masters." Are you crazy? This is your enemy. And in our human mind, this doesn't make sense. But on God's eyes, that was his will. Why did Elisha react that way? Because his spiritual eyes were open. Because just as he asked God to open the eyes of his servant, his spiritual eyes had been opened. And so he had the ability to understand things in a different way. And so he said, "It's not good for us to just like trick them, bring them into our city, capture them, and then just kill them. Like, what will our reputation be after this? It wouldn't be good. So let's just give them food and water and just send them back to their king." So they did. He prepared a great feast, not just food and water. It wasn't just, "Hey, can you go feed those people who are there?" No, they prepared a feast for them to eat and drink and celebrate because they were alive and they were not killed. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Do you think the war would have stopped if Israel had killed those men in that opportunity? So it wasn't wise at all to get rid of them. But by doing this, feeding them and giving them something to drink, what Elisha was doing was trying to also open their eyes so that they could see the love and the mercies of Jehovah, of God, the King of Israel and Judah. How many times do we think with this mindset that what we do now for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, whoever it is that you're in contact with, what we do now will directly affect, if they don't know the message of salvation, their ability to one day come to the feet of Jesus? How many do we look at every situation, any situation that we have in that way? That we could be sent by God in that moment to open their spiritual eyes so they can understand that God is love and that it doesn't matter for like whichever situation they're going through, God can help them. And that is exactly what Elisha did. Well, not exactly the same, but as an example of what we as Christians can do for others. So, the church condition, the three things we're seeing today. Number one, the church condition, blindness. We have eyes, but we can see. Because this blindness is not physical, but spiritual. And biblically, our church is compared to that church that is sick, that is blind, that even though it has eyes, cannot see, because we're just doing our own thing and we don't care about Jesus and about his grace and about his love and about saving others out there. It's lost track of our vision. We're blind. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Open your Bibles now. I didn't put the verses there because I wanted you to be able to look for yourself in the Bible. Why are we blind as a church? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. I'm going to read it. It says, in their case, the goal of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. First, he's saying that those unbelievers, they're blind, apart from the church. But then if we go to John chapter 12, verse 40, go with me, John chapter 12, verse 40. And it says, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn, and I will heal them. This is our condition. Blind, deaf, lost, and we need to turn as a whole church, that revival, that reign of the Holy Spirit that needs to happen within us, among us. It needs to happen so we can wake and God can open our eyes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23, verse 16. Matthew 23, 16 says, all to you blind guys who say, anyone swears by the temple is nothing, but if anyone swears by the goal of the temple, he is bound by his oath. He's talking about the Pharisees. And very often, we as a church act as these Pharisees. We believe we're guiding people through the right thing, but our actions as Christians are leading them far away from God. And I heard an awesome sermon last weekend about how Jesus, when he cleansed the temple, when he went cleansing the temple, it wasn't so much because of whatever was going on, but because what was going on in there was pushing people away from God, pushing the Gentile away from Jehovah, because they needed to come closer, but what they were doing was totally opposite to their mission. And so when we're compared to the Pharisees in here, we are guides, we're blind as a church. Blindness. We have our eyes, but we cannot see. Not only that, but we're ignorant. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. And it might be that we're not blind. This is what we're going to see now. It might be that we have our eyes. It's okay. We're seeing. It might be spiritually seeing, but then we don't do anything about anything. Like, what's the point of seeing that there's a hole if you keep walking through the same road and you fall? What's the point? Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says, the word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, you are living among rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. Therefore, son of man, pack your belongings for exile, and in the daytime, as they watch, set out and go from where you are to another place. Perhaps they will understand, though they are rebellious people, and because they were spiritually blind, they would probably not understand what was going on. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 21 to 23. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 21 to 23. Says, "Hear this, you foolish and senseless people, who have eyes, but again, don't see, who have ears, but do not hear. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? I made the sand and boundary for the sea, and an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. But these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned aside and gone away." Again, we have eyes, we don't see. We just decide to ignore everything, even though we are able to see. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Mark chapter 8. In this passage, Jesus is talking about the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. And so it's really interesting. Because this is Jesus talking. So we went to the prophets and see how the prophets compared, say that the people of Israel in that time, they have eyes and they didn't see, and they are rebellious people. So comparing us to the spiritual Israel that applies to us today. But now Jesus says, Mark 8:18 says, "Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember?" So Jesus is telling the disciples, talking to them about that story, that one time when he multiplied the food. And they had forgotten that Jesus had that power. And they had forgotten and said, "Even you seen my miracles, you forget and you decide to ignore? What's going on? What do you have eyes for? Use them wisely." That is our condition. Due to this condition, then, what Jesus can do, he can open our eyes. If we go to, we're in Mark chapter 8, right there, Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, right after that, you know what happened? Because Jesus wanted to show them. Verse 22 says, "They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, 'Do you see anything?' He looked up and said, 'I see people. They look like trees walking around.'" That was pretty funny, but it's really nice. I mean, when a person who's blind sees for the first time, I guess this guy saw before, because if he was comparing people to trees, obviously he had knowledge, so he knew what trees looked like, and he knew what people looked like, and he was comparing. So he probably could see before, and they got blind, but Jesus is healing him now. And he says, "I see people, and they look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eye, and then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus then sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." Jesus just sent him home. But as they were singing, Jesus can touch our eyes. He can heal not only our physical eyes, as he did in here, but he can 100% restore our spiritual sight. Are you willing to receive vision this morning? Are you willing to receive godly eyes that you may see and recognize when the enemy is attacking you? That you may see and recognize when someone is in need? We can receive that. Another verse to support that Jesus can open our eyes is in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. Jesus heals another blind person. Matthew 9, verse 27. It says, As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him. How did they follow Jesus? If they were blind, don't ask me. Ask the Bible. I don't have the answer. But they were following Jesus, and they were calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched. What did Jesus do? He touched their eyes. And when he touched their eyes, he said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. The touch of the Master, the touch of Jesus, when he touches you, he changes you. No doubt. And that is what happened to these two guys in here. Now, what Jesus can do, he can make us blind. And this is probably what you're thinking, well, what are you talking about, that Jesus can make us blind? Well, let me tell you. John chapter 9, verse 39. Go with me. And let's find the answer in the Bible. How can he make us blind? Why would he make us blind is the question. If the goal is for us to open our eyes. John chapter 9, verse 39 says, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." It says the Bible that Jesus is making people blind, right? He came into the world. So those who did not see but wanted to see, then they will receive that spiritual sight. But those who didn't want or were not interested in seeing spiritually, well, they will just stay blind or become blind. They say, "I'll make them blind." Well, they decided themselves to be blind. 2 Kings 6:18, when the prophet Elisha prayed for the people, what did he say? "Strike them with blindness right now." And it happened. The same God, creator, who created the eye, who has given us the ability to see, has the power to take away our sight, has the power to make us blind. Jesus came. If you want to see him and receive the truth and see the truth, you're going to see. But when you reject him, you become blind automatically. So in that moment, we can see that Jesus is able to make people blind. Why does this happen? Because they refuse to see. Another example. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, verse 3. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. This is the narration of Saul when he was persecuting people. I laugh because I think it's well deserved that he got blind for at least 2 days. So he could slow down. I mean, people were dying. That was sad. So Acts chapter 9, verse 3 says, "As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anything." Those were the blind people in that story. "But then Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes," what happened to Saul as well? He could see what? Nothing. "So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything." And story, we don't have time to look at the whole story. So let's jump to verse 17. And we have the ending of that story. It says, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered, placing his hands," touching Saul, "placing his hands on Saul. He said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" And immediately what happened? Saul was able to see. But Jesus blinding me first. Because he was refusing to see, and he was fighting for God. He was doing the right thing in his mind. And Jesus said, no, you're actually doing totally the opposite. You're pushing people away from me. You're killing people for this jealously of that they should be doing the thing that you just think they should be doing. I came to save them. And so he was touched, and he saw not only physically again, but what? Spiritually. But it's an example that if we don't want to see, Jesus can make us blind. Or we can automatically become blind, if that explains it better. Now to close, what can we do about this condition of our church and about this blindness, spiritual blindness? We can buy from Jesus. If we have eye problems, what do we do? What? We go to the doctor, eye doctor, we get checked out. If we need surgery, we go into surgery. If we need glasses, we get glasses. But we need to buy that. Like, we just don't go to the doctor and the doctor, okay, here's your stuff. It's free. That would be lovely. I mean, those glasses are expensive, man. Still got to buy. Got to pay for it. Here's the thing. Jesus is saying, hey, you can come buy from me. But guess what? It's free. Free stuff. It's a giveaway. Take it all. Revelation chapter 3, 17 through 18. This is Jesus talking to the church of Laodicea. You say, I am rich, I have acquired health, wealth, and do not need anything. And don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are a wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold, refined in fire, so you can become rich, and white cloth to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salt to burn your eyes, so you can what? So you can see. What can you and I do about our spiritual blindness? We can ask Jesus in this very moment to open our eyes. Do you want to see again? So I'm going to ask the deacons to please pass the connect cards in this moment. And as we get those connect cards, as they pass the connect cards, I'm going to read this. Sorry, I'm trying to unlock my iPad. HDA Bible Commentary says, it's as a closing thought, the greatest realities cannot be seen with eyes of flesh. God and his angels are invisible to men without the help of the Lord. With the eyes of flesh, we can see only things of flesh. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Our greatest need, and I'm going to repeat that phrase, our greatest need is that our eyes may be open, that we may see God and the vital importance of the things of his kingdom. Unless God opens our eyes, we may go through life as blind men, never understanding the things of the Lord, never seeing the vital importance of righteousness or appreciating the importance of holiness. When we pray to God, our eyes are open and we begin to see the importance of the most vital things of earth. What is the most important thing for us to see? Jesus. Let us look at Jesus in this morning. Connect cards. Please take a moment to meditate on what we've studied in the Bible this morning. And if you want, you can check those three boxes. Number one, I want to be touched by Jesus. Because when we are touched by Jesus, our life changes. Number two, I decide to trust God in the middle of my trial. Just like the servant of Elisha, he was scared. He didn't know what's going on. But when Elisha prayed for him, his eyes were open and he realized that in the middle of that problem where he was scared, the army that was on his side was even bigger than the enemy. God is always with us, so we shouldn't be afraid. We can trust God in the middle of that trial. Number three, I want the Holy Spirit to open my spiritual eyes. If you want that for you in your life, check that box. And please turn that card in at the end of the service. So just to summarize what we learned today, the church condition. What's the church condition? Spiritually blind, no doubt. The church, the Bible says it. Number two, what Jesus can do. What can Jesus do? He can make us see, but he can what? But he can make us blind. Like if we decide not to see, then we're going to be blind. Sadly for us. Number three, what you and I can do, we can ask God to help us see clearly. And I just want to pray in this morning that the Lord can open our eyes so we can follow him, so we can do his will, so that we're strengthening his power and his love, and that we can clearly see what his will is, like what he wants us to do every day. And I want to close in a song today. If you may sing with me. So we can invite God to open our eyes and see him.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Sing it one more time.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. For all your power and love, we sing holy, holy, holy.
Sing holy, holy.
Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Let us stand as we sing, open our eyes, Lord.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears.
Father, we pray in this morning that you may open our eyes. If there's anyone suffering for physical, visual impairment or anything, I want to place them in your heart, in your hands. May you just give them strength and wisdom and give them physical sight. But most importantly, oh Lord, I want for my church, for each and every member, children, youth, young adult, adults, everyone to be able to see spiritually. May all of us, O Lord, recognize the need of you, our spiritual need of prayer, of study of the Bible every day, of witnessing out there and reaching out to those people who are lost without you, O Lord. Open our spiritual eyes and help us see what we need to see to reach salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church.